He didn't want to drag her into more danger than he'd already put her in, but he did need help. And more important, Swordtail and Luna needed help.
This isn't the first rule I'm breaking, he thought. The first rule I broke was running, even after the guards told me to stop.
He still felt shaken all the way through his scales at the memory of disobeying Hivewing orders.
But if I'm going to rescue Luna, or at least get Swordtail to rescue Luna, then this won't be the last rule I break either.
You're right, he said.
Oh, my goodness, she said, looking genuinely startled. No one has ever said that to me.
Then the dragons, you know, haven't been listening to you very well, he said. I bet you're right about almost everything.
Ooh, a perfect title for my memoir, she said, grinning. Right About Almost Everything, by Cricket. He laughed, letting her smile chase away his nerves. She carefully selected 6 vials from the back rows, rolled them in a thick black cloth, and tucked them into a bag she tied sideways across her chest. One more stop, she said. They hurried through the school again. Blue unfurled his antennae at each corner, but he couldn't sense any other dragons anywhere in the building. The hunt for him had moved on, or maybe paused for the night, he hoped, without much optimism. The next room Cricket took him into was huge and abutted the side of the hive, because there was an enormous glass window all along one side of it. Outside it was very dark, with only fragments of the savanna grass shifting silver in bits of moonlight. The 3 moons and most of the stars were hidden by thick clouds. After a few moments of blinking around, Blue realized this was the art room he had glimpsed briefly through the cracks in the tunnels. Here was the easel with its perfectly perpendicular lines of blue and black. In fact, there was an entire row of easels with exactly the same painting on each one. Blue wasn't sure it was a painting. It seemed more like a plan for a gardening plot. In another corner of the room, a long table was lined with large sheets of paper, each one with a nearly exact replica of an orange painted in the center. The orange that had merited all this attention was still posed nonchalantly on a stool in front of the table. Blue looked around, but none of the artwork looked like Cricket's glorious terrarium.
Where's yours? He asked.
Oh, I'm not allowed to take art classes anymore, Cricket said, with a kind of carelessness he was pretty sure she was faking. You can probably guess why.
Good heavens, Cricket, he said,
putting on the voice she'd used several times already.
No one has ever used that many colors on one piece of paper before. Look at this mess. Why can't you just draw a normal blue blueberry like every other dragon?
She laughed so much, he had to catch her before she fell into one of the easels. Were you there? She gasped, wiping tears from her eyes. That's exactly what Principal Lubber sounded like.
I bet your art was beautiful, he said.
A beautiful pile of shredded scraps when she was done with it, she said with a half shrug. I had dreams for a while that bee-eaters and weaver birds found the pieces and tucked them into their nests all across the grasslands. She wrestled another cabinet open, this time revealing rows of color-coded paint pots and drawers of the cleanest paintbrushes Blue had ever seen, most of them as thin as his antennae. He said as she started selecting brushes and paint.
Do I want to know what's happening?
We're going to disguise you, she said with delight. What color have you always wanted to be? I mean, I think your scales are perfect, but like you said, you can't wander the hive looking like yourself, can you? That's a purple anyone would spot from the next hive over. For a moment, I thought it would be so cool to disguise you as a Hivewing, but then I was like, silly Cricket, that won't work. There are no wingless Hivewings. So what do you think? Orange? Our cook is mostly orange.
You're going to paint me?
Blue said. Or you could paint yourself, but I think I'd better do it, unless you're good at it. Are you?
I have no idea, he said. I've never painted a dragon before.
Me neither, she confessed. But I think it'll work if we use the right paint. Do you mind? Can I try?
You think,
he echoed nervously. Maybe a darker color, to be sure it'll cover yours, she said. Are there any sort of darkish silk wings?
Swordtail has mostly dark blue scales, Blue said. I've seen dark greens and reds and all shades of brown.
Cricket pulled out a range of chocolate, maroon, and navy paints. All right, she said, herding him onto a drop cloth that covered part of the floor. Stay really still. Blue closed his eyes and froze.
I'm putting myself in her talons, he thought. I really, really hope she knows what she's doing. Because if she doesn't, and someone recognizes me, and we get caught, we're both going to be in worse trouble than I can imagine.
Chapter 10.
I don't see how this could work, Blue protested,
as Cricket dipped a brush into paint the color of the sea during a storm.
Won't I just look like a silkwing with paint all over me?
Not unless they look closely, and no one looks closely at silkwings. She started dabbing paint lightly across the purple scales on his back. It felt like salamanders prowling over him, tiny wet toes sliding along each individual scale. It felt like purrs and whispers and ferns full of dewdrops trailing along his nerves. Cricket switched to a sponge to smooth out the paint, then to another brush for a different color. She hesitated, lightly touching his shoulder.
I'm going to paint around your wing buds, but I won't touch them, all right?
He nodded. It was hypnotizing, the gentle brushing touch sweeping over him. He felt half bewitched, as though the toxin from his wristband might still be running through his veins.
Cricket, why are you helping me?
He asked. Her talons stilled for a moment, then kept going.
I don't know. Maybe because I know what it's like to hide while everyone is mind-controlled. And because I've never met a flame silk, and I'd love to know more about you. And because you're...
She paused, struggling for a word.
Pathetic, he offered. Desperate? A tragic story?
No, she said. Not that at all. You're...
She trailed off again.
Aha, he said, devastatingly handsome.
She laughed and poked his neck with the other end of the paintbrush. Stop it. You mustn't make me laugh while I'm wielding paint at you. He smelled cinnamon as she leaned in to paint around his ears. After a moment, she said,
I mean, you're not... not. But what I was trying to say is interesting. You're interesting. And I usually spend all day with dragons like Bombardier and Earthworm, who are definitely not interesting.
Huh, he said. She wants to study me,
he caught himself thinking.
I'm one of the forbidden library books come to life, that's all. A chance for her to learn more about my tribe and flame silk. It's not really about me. Which is better? Safer. For both of us.
He sighed and closed his eyes. He imagined a thousand moths weaving a web of silk around him, shrouding him in a second skin. The paint felt like tiny beetle shells as it dried, glossy and thin and hard. After a while, Cricket said, what do you think? Blue half expected to see something like her terrarium when he opened his eyes. He was a little afraid he'd look like a rose garden on fire. But the dragon looking back at him from the cabinet mirror was a nondescript silkwing in dark blues and the browns of dead leaves, with touches of deep red barely visible along his spine and snout. There were a few blobby spots around his claws, and his brighter blue peeked through here and there, but for the most part, the paint was even. He looked like a dragon no one would glance at twice. He blinked.
Wow. Thank you, Cricket.
It's not perfect, but hopefully it'll at least get you out of the hive, she said apologetically, especially if everyone is still looking for you.
Out of the hive, he thought with a shiver.
He'd never gone any farther than the webs around Cicada Hive. Unlike Luna, he'd never even wanted to.
I guess I'm ready to go find Swordtail, he said uncertainly.
He'd never walked the streets of the hive alone at night before. He always went home to the webs before dark. Burnett and Silverspot must be so worried about him. Which made him think,
Cricket, don't you have to go home?
She glanced out at the dark savanna and the twinkling lights of other hives in the distance. I doubt my father will notice one way or another. Katie did well, but she knows I sometimes hide for a while after Queen Wasp takes over everyone. I get nervous that it'll happen again right away, and it's hard to be around dragons. Even Katie did, after seeing that. She started cleaning away the paints and brushes. Blue moved to help her, but she stopped him. No, stay still until you're completely dry. Anyway, she's the only one who cares where I am, and she'll cover for me.
For how long? He wondered.
How far would Cricket's curiosity take her before she decided to leave him to his fate? All the way to Wasp Hive? To Luna? Did he dare hope for that much? Where do you think Swordtail is? Cricket asked, tucking the last pot of blue paint into place. Blue noticed that she'd put two of the pots in the wrong order. One was darker than the other, so it should come later in the line, and reached past her to switch them.
My only guess is Miss Behavior's way, Blue said. He doesn't like being told what to do, so he's been there before. But I'm afraid. I mean, he's never actually attacked a hive wing like he did today.
He felt a fizzing twist of anxiety in his stomach. What would the hive wings do with Swordtail if they decided he was really dangerous? It's still the first stop, even if he'll be moved to prison after that, Cricket said. So that's probably where he is. I've never been to Miss Behavior's way. She leaned forward and lightly tested the paint on his snout. Although Father is always saying that's what my teachers should do with me. Like, we all know it's inevitable, just stick her there now, that kind of thing.
You've never... Haven't you at least walked along it? He asked.
He was flummoxed when she shook her head.
But... Really? It's only a couple levels up from here. My school has two field trips there every year.
Field trips? Cricket echoed, fluttering her wings back. What for? What can they possibly teach you there? Isn't it kind of scary for little dragonettes? She glanced around, making sure all traces of their activity were gone, and started for the door.
Yes, he said fervently. I found it terrifying every time. I still do. That's, kind of the point, I think.
His scales felt crackly and strange as he walked behind her, but kind of cool, too, like wearing a mask fitted exactly to his face. Oh, she said. So, it's to teach you to follow the rules? Poor little silkwing dragonettes. Do all your schools do that?
I think so.
Do they spend a lot of time scaring you? She asked. Like, on purpose? He shrugged. It was hard for him to concentrate on their conversation because they had reached the front door of the school. Through the narrow windows on either side, he could see slivers of the prehistoric shapes of the playground structures outside, the ones that he'd last seen swarming with dragons trying to attack him. Now it looked deserted, like the bones of a whale graveyard at the bottom of the sea. Cricket stopped and peered out, pressing her face to the window so she could see as far in each direction as possible.
I don't see anyone, she whispered.
She hesitated, her tail flicking back and forth uncertainly as she stared out at the playground. Blue's heart was beating like a trapped insect, throwing itself at the glass walls of its prison. But he had a sudden bolt of understanding. She felt the same way. Cricket had never gone outside while the mind control was happening. She was as scared as he was.
"I'll go first," he whispered.
"Really?" She glanced at him, her eyes darting worriedly over his painted scales. "But..."
"Don't worry. I have my awesome disguise, remember?" he said. "If the Hive Wings are still under Queen Wasp's control, they'll notice that you're not right away. But with luck, they won't notice a random silkwing wandering the park. I'll signal once I know if it's safe for you to come out or not."
She hesitated again before nodding. He took a deep breath, pushed open the heavy door, and slipped down the stairs. Chapter 11. Blue walked cautiously through the park, glancing around for dragons but seeing no one. He made his way to the ledge and looked out at the cloud-covered moons and rustling savanna. What had happened to Io? Did she get away? But there were no signs, no clues. Nothing in the quiet around him indicated that a massive dragon hunt had started here earlier that evening. He ducked his head and started back toward the school. Halfway there, he saw a dragon hurrying out of a side street. Half in shadows, the stranger picked up a toy that had been left on one of the structures and paused, squinting at Blue.
"You'd better get back where you belong," he called in a sharp voice. "The hunting parties will be leaving at dawn tomorrow."
"Yes, sir," Blue said,
trying to walk like he had a destination and study the dragon at the same time. The stranger grumbled something and left, and in the glow of the streetlights, Blue caught a glimpse of black stripes across his back. A hive wing. One with his own eyes and his own mind. The queen had released her tribe, for now. Blue waited until the hive wing was out of sight, then beckoned to Cricket. She slipped out of the school, and together, they hurried down one of the deserted streets toward the outer spiral. Inside a few of the houses, Blue saw light glowing or moving around. He wondered how long ago the queen had let them go. He wondered how long it had taken all the families to reunite, and how they were all feeling. Were any of them resentful of the queen? Or did they blame him for disrupting their evening instead? Or perhaps they all felt as if they'd been useful and important helpers in the search for a dangerous criminal.
"Me, a dangerous criminal. When all I've ever wanted is to stay out of trouble. Wait." "That hive wing," Blue said softly. "He said something about hunting parties leaving at dawn."
"To look for you?" Cricket asked. "Uh-oh. That means we need to move fast if we want to get a head start on them." There were guards slumped at the entrance to the spiral, but their eyes glanced over Blue's muted colors, noted the haughty tilt to Cricket's snout, and slanted away, uninterested. Cricket went first, and Blue followed, keeping his head low, acting the part of a humble servant, following his mistress's midnight whim for a stroll. She paused a few levels up and glanced back at him. He nodded.
"Through there."
This was one of the only levels with a gate, although it wasn't locked. There was no risk of anyone escaping, after all. Blue suspected the gate was there so Hive Wings wouldn't have to accidentally see the prisoners on their way between levels. Cricket pushed open the gate, and they emerged onto a path that was roughly cobbled with chunks of sharp stones. She winced as one stabbed her feet, then looked up at the columns that lined the walkway. Normally, Blue came here in a crowd of other dragons, young silkwings all wide-eyed and hushed with terror. He always tried to stay near the back, so he wouldn't have to look at the prisoners too closely. But they were impossible to miss. Mounted on stone pedestals for all the world to stare at, looming over the heads of the visiting students. The stony path wound all around the level, in and out, and over roughly shaped hills, until it connected back with itself at the beginning again. In between the prisoner pedestals were engraved tablets listing the rules of the hives, the consequences for breaking them, odes to the greatness of Queen Wasp, and quotes from historical figures about obedience, safety, and community. Some of the quotes were from Clearsight herself. Blue had always liked that she sounded like she cared about the rules as much as he did. Above each prisoner hung a small spotlight, and on each pedestal there was always a list posted of that prisoner's crimes, described in dramatic detail. Tonight, the first few pedestals on Misbehavior's Way were empty, but as they walked the path, they saw figures on the ones up ahead. Cricket gave a start, jumping back to crash into Blue when she noticed the first one a few paces away.
"Sorry," she whispered. Is it real? A real dragon, I mean? Or is it a statue? But I can hear it breathing. Can't I?"
"That's a dragon," Blue confirmed. "A silkwing, but not swordtail."
The colors were all wrong, mostly white and brown, with flecks of green. She watched the immobile prisoner for a long, wary moment.
"It's not moving at all."
"She can't," Blue pointed out. "None of them can move."
They drew closer to the occupied pedestals and looked up at the trapped criminals. Misbehavior's Way had no need for cages or chains. Instead, Queen Wasp used an elite unit of Hivewing soldiers, all recruited to the job because they had a nerve poison in their claws or tail stinger. Once the criminal, or Misbehavior, was stabbed, that dragon wouldn't be able to move for an entire day.
"I read about this," Cricket said, shifting her wings uncomfortably. "But it's not what I pictured."
Blue kept walking. He could see the colors of the prisoners with a glance, but it was hard to avoid getting caught by their expressions. So many of their faces were frozen in a rictus of rage or fear. Most of them had been paralyzed while trying to run or fight, so they were contorted in odd positions, stuck there until the toxin wore off. They passed a pale pink silkwing with long rose petal wings, his talons outstretched, as though he'd been pleading for mercy, his snout still wet with tears. They passed a snarling scarlet hivewing in a defensive crouch, teeth bared. Another silkwing in shades of turquoise and tan looked as though she'd been trying to leap into flight when she was caught. Her neck strained hopelessly toward the ceiling. Her wings were in an awkward, half-open position that would probably feel awfully sore when they could move again.
"I thought they'd be asleep," Cricket said in a small voice. "I thought the toxin knocked them out, like putting them in a temporary coma."
She glanced up at the next frozen dragon and flinched away.
"But these dragons, are they awake in there, so they can see everyone watching them? Do you think it hurts?"
"It does," Blue said. "Swordtail says getting stabbed feels like fire burning every nerve in your body. Eventually the pain fades, but you're still paralyzed, so all you want to do is run, or fly, or even blink, but you can't move a single muscle until the toxin wears off."
Everything about Misbehavior's Way featured in his recurring nightmares.
"I didn't know," she said. "I can't believe this was right here and I had no idea. I'm a terrible dragon."
"I don't think so,"
Blue said. He inhaled sharply as they rounded a bend in the path.
"There, that's Swordtail."
He darted forward, skidding to a stop at the base of Swordtail's column. Swordtail's paralyzed wings were spread wide, his tail frozen as it lashed back and forth. One of his front talons was outstretched, the claws curved, as though he was about to slash someone's face. It was a little scary, honestly, seeing his friend on the attack like that. Swordtail's expression was determined and desperate, as though this was his very last chance to save the world.
"Hey,"
Blue said softly up at him. Swordtail couldn't react, but Blue knew he could still hear.
It's me, Blue. This is Cricket. We're going to... What are we going to do?
He asked Cricket.
Pick him up and carry him out of here?
She wrinkled her snout at him, a glimmer of her cheerful side sneaking through for the first time since they'd stepped onto Miss Behavior's way. I'm sure that would be very inconspicuous. She crouched on the cobblestones, took off her bag, and unrolled the pouch of vials. They gleamed like raindrops on flower petals in the light shining from above. I don't know if this will work, she said, pushing her glasses higher on her snout. I thought we needed to wake him up, but maybe this one would be better. Cricket selected a liquid the color of grass and gave Blue a wry, nervous look. At least, we use this to save plants that have been poisoned.
On plants? He said. Is it safe for dragons?
I think so, she said. Have I ever tried it on a dragon? Not exactly. But it shouldn't make things worse, anyway. This was not the most comforting answer. Blue looked up at Swordtail, wishing his friend could give him some sort of sign. Was Swordtail willing to risk a mysterious, unproven, possible antidote from a strange hivewing? Or would he rather be left alone?
Who am I kidding? Swordtail would risk anything to save Luna. I'm the one who would find it too scary.
Do you want me to try it on him? Cricket said. I understand if you don't.
I do, Blue said. I think we have to.
He glanced back along the deserted path. He had a feeling that everyone in the hive was at home, recovering from the queen's mind control earlier, and that was why they'd seen so few dragons out. But he was also afraid that Wasp might seize control of them again at any moment. He couldn't imagine trying to fight his way out of the hive alongside Cricket, but with Swordtail, they might stand a chance. And Swordtail would be able to rescue Luna. He was strong and brave, and not afraid of hive-wing soldiers. All right, Cricket said. How am I going to do this? Let's think. She poked through the vials and drew out the tweezers she'd used on the flame silk in the library. Blue hadn't even noticed that she'd brought them along. Find me a big rock, she said to Blue. That wasn't too hard here. Blue found a loose cobblestone and kicked it until he could wobble it free. He brought it to Cricket, and she beat her wings once, twice, three times, just enough to lift her up to the light over Swordtail's head. Here she hesitated, glancing down. Can you cover his eyes for me? She asked Blue. And keep yours closed, too. Blue climbed up to balance awkwardly on the corner of the pedestal, where he could lean sideways and put his talons over Swordtail's eyes. Obediently, he closed his own as well. There was a smashing sound from above him, and tiny bits of glass pattered down all over him and Swordtail. He shook his head and squinted open his eyes into the new brightness. Sorry about that, Cricket said. Are you all right? He nodded. She was using the tweezers to work the flame silk thread out. He couldn't look straight at her, or the thread, without getting a headache. A moment later, she had it free. He hopped down to the ground and she took his place on the pedestal. With a few careful strokes, she burned through Swordtail's wrist cuff in the same way she'd burned off Blue's. Blue met Swordtail's eyes as the heavy band clunked to the ground. He didn't think he was imagining the spark of jubilation in them. All right. Moment of truth, Cricket said. Would you mind passing me the vial? Very, very carefully. He uncorked it and held it high, keeping his claws as steady as he could while she reached down for it. Now you might want to hold your breath, she said. Clearsight only knows what this could do to us. Eep, this is such a cool experiment. I feel like a real scientist, don't you? She took a deep breath herself and dropped the flame silk into the vial. The liquid started bubbling furiously. Cricket clamped the tweezers around the vial and held it out under Swordtail's snout. Green smoke boiled up from the top of it, enveloping Swordtail's face in a thick, emerald cloud. Blue stared up at them, his heart pounding. Chapter 12.
Please work, Blue prayed. Please, please be all right, Swordtail. Clearsight, if you're listening, please set him free.
They waited several long, agonizing moments, all three dragons frozen in place. And then Swordtail twitched suddenly, violently, knocking Cricket off the pedestal with one flailing wing. Blue jumped to break her fall. The vial shattered on the stone path, spilling what was left of the hissing green chemical. Cricket scrambled over to pick up the flame silk in her tweezers again, tucking the thread into a small stone jar with a tight lid that she'd also had hidden in her bag. Swordtail let out a gasp, his jaw clenched, his eyelids closed, and slowly he lowered his reaching talon, shaking it hard as though it had been asleep.
Swordtail? Blue said.
Blue, Swordtail croaked. He opened his eyes and gingerly inched his head around to look down at them. The poison seemed to be wearing off gradually, from his face through his wings and back, and at last to his tail.
Do you feel all right? Cricket asked him. Anything weird? How's your nose? Did that hurt? I hope it didn't hurt, but it might have. I don't know. The plants can't exactly tell us if it does. Are you dizzy? How are your lungs?
Swordtail raised one talon to feel the trickle of dried blood on his neck.
All right, he said thickly.
Cricket, Blue whispered. Are his eyes supposed to be turning green?
The whites of Swordtail's eyes, around his normally dark blue irises, were turning a shade of emerald green only slightly paler than the liquid from the vial.
Oh, fascinating, Cricket said. Why would that happen? Is it affecting your vision? Can you see all right? She asked Swordtail. He blinked a few times.
Bit greenish? He offered. No, wait. Uh-oh, definitely bad. Blue is all the wrong colors.
Oh, no, Blue said. That's just paint. Don't worry.
Huh, Swordtail said. Sure. Sounds normal.
Swordtail crouched, then arched his back into a stretch like a jungle cat. He flared his wings and leaped down from the pedestal, landing in a wobbly sprawl.
Oof, he said. Legs disagreeing with me.
He sat down heavily and frowned at his feet.
Whoa, very demanding legs.
Cricket, you're a genius, Blue said. I can't believe that worked.
Neither can I, she said. I should write a paper about this. No, a book. I mean, it's a real scientific breakthrough, right? We could...
She stopped, realizing what she was saying. Oh, no. I guess I can't do that.
The Queen probably wouldn't appreciate it, Blue agreed.
Swordtail looked at them, a gleam in his newly green eyes.
But I know some dragons who would be very interested, he said.
His voice was only a little bit slurred now.
Very, 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 ever so very interested.
Does he mean the chrysalis? Blue wondered.
He glanced back along the path at the other frozen figures.
Would they set all these prisoners free if they knew how Cricket did it? And if they did, what would happen then?
He imagined all the prisoners staggering off their pedestals, green-eyed like Swordtail, all of them angry and free at the same time. Would they attack Hivewing soldiers, or would they all run away?
What does the chrysalis want, exactly?
Swordtail shook his wings out again.
Blue! Wow! I can't believe it's you! I mean, it's amazing that it's you. You, here,
all kinds of amazing.
He opened and closed his mouth a few times, as if trying to make all his muscles work again.
That is, I mean, of all the dragons, I might have expected to come rescue me, he said. You and a strange little hive wing are probably the last on the list. But thank you. Did I say thank you? I've been thinking thank you very loudly. Probably should say it a few times.
He touched Blue's shoulder with one of his talons, then let go and gave an odd hop sideways. Swordtail's whole body seemed to be vibrating just a little bit.
Ayo tried to get me away, Blue said, but we had to split up. Cricket saved me.
Are you all right? Cricket asked Swordtail. What are you feeling right now?
What happened to Luna?
Swordtail asked, all his manic energy suddenly focused on the question. Blue shook his head.
I'm not sure, but we think they've taken her to where the queen keeps all her flame silks. We think it might be in or near Wasp Hive.
So that's where we're going next, Cricket interjected. Blue blinked at her.
That sure sounds like she's coming too.
He didn't want to ask. He was afraid to jinx it. But he smiled at her when she looked his way, and she smiled back.
I should get help, Swordtail said.
His tail had started lashing back and forth like a whip, but he didn't seem to notice. His claws extended and closed, his ears flicked up and down. Even his antennae were fully unfurled and waving around.
Help is a useful thing. There are dragons I can reach out to.
The chrysalis? Cricket asked. How will you find them? What can they do? He narrowed his eyes at her.
How do you know about the chrysalis?
She doesn't, Blue said quickly. She knows as much as I do, which is pretty much nothing.
Then it should stay that way,
Swordtail growled. His shoulders twitched, making his wings flutter up and back.
Let's see. It would take a while. Leave a message, wait for a response. We'd have to find a safe place to hide.
Blue doesn't have time to wait for other dragons, Cricket said. He needs to get as far away from this hive as possible before dawn. That's when the queen is going to take over everyone again and send them out looking for him.
You can stay in contact with the chrysalis if you want, Blue said.
But we're leaving, right now, Cricket finished.
We are? Blue thought, with a little glow of happiness. Cricket and me. To find Luna? Swordtail asked.
Blue nodded.
Then I'm coming with you, he said. Yes, to save her. That is the most me thing to do. I am most definitely coming with you.
He flexed his claws and bounced in place for a moment. And then Swordtail suddenly ran at the stone pedestal and smashed his shoulder into it.
Swordtail!
Blue yelped. Swordtail looked at him, grinning. Large cracks had appeared all along the stone.
Look what I did, he said. I feel like I could knock over everything. All the columns, any building, the whole hive.
Shh, Blue said with alarm.
Cricket, is this normal?
I have no idea, she said, wide-eyed. What I gave him is sort of a stimulant, and it does make the plants grow bigger and faster.
I feel bigger,
Swordtail declared, at a horrifying volume.
I feel faster.
He turned and sprinted away down the path. Uh-oh, Cricket said. Any chance he's always like this?
No, Blue cried. This is definitely weird.
Hmm, she said. How long do you think it'll last?
How would I know? Crash,
went something up ahead of them. Thud, smash.
Ha, ha,
Swordtail shouted. Blue bolted after his friend, Cricket close behind him. They found Swordtail merrily lifting enormous rocks and throwing them at the wall of the hive. Even paralyzed, the two nearest prisoners somehow managed to look alarmed.
What are you doing? Blue yelped, catching Swordtail's arm. Making us a door,
Swordtail answered.
I'm in construction, you know. This is totally my job.
He lifted another boulder, which looked much heavier than anything Blue could have picked up, and hurled it at the wall. The tree stuff was already splintered and cracked, with several small holes in it.
Hey, grasshopper!
Swordtail shouted, making Blue jump.
Look how hard I'm working. Are you happy now?
Swordtail, please be quiet, Blue begged.
It's probably too late for that, Cricket said, glancing back along Miss Behavior's way.
Take that,
Swordtail yelled. He heaved an entire stone tablet out of the ground and threw it as hard as he could. It smashed right through the side of the hive and plummeted out of sight. Blue stared at the gaping hole that was left. Fragments of tree stuff feathered out on all sides of it, and wood-smelling dust hazed the air.
This is vandalism, he thought, and destruction of hive property. There are definitely rules about this. Possibly on that tablet, Swordtail just hurled through the wall.
On the other side of the hole, he could see clouds rimmed with moonlight and the far-off lights of another hive.
Where other dragons are having a perfectly normal evening that doesn't involve getting painted, hiding from soldiers, or watching their friends lose their minds.
Let's go,
Swordtail cried, charging toward the opening.
I can't, Blue said. We're too high. I don't have wings, remember?
I'll carry you,
Swordtail said enthusiastically.
I can do it. I'm as strong as 10 dragons. I can carry both of you at the same time.
Absolutely not. Thank you, Cricket said. My own two wings work perfectly fine. She turned toward Blue. I think we have to go out this way, don't you? We can't go back. There must be guards coming to investigate the noise.
Are you sure you want to come? Blue said. You could go home now. You could be safe and stay out of this whole mess.
And never find out what happens? She adjusted her glasses and smiled at him. Are you kidding me?
Swordtail flapped his wings at Blue. Time to fly, short stuff, he shouted.
By all the hives, Swordtail, what is happening to you? Blue asked.
Instead of answering, Swordtail shot a long strand of silk at him and snared Blue's shoulders. He tugged Blue closer and wove several more strands into a quick harness to bind them together. Blue noticed that Swordtail's silk had also turned a strange new shade of pale green.
I'm not sure this is a good idea, Blue said nervously,
as Swordtail clasped his front talons around Blue's chest. This close to the hole, he could see the rippling grass far, far below him.
I'm not that light, and it's a long way down.
To the moons!
Swordtail hollered, leaping out into the air. Blue felt a terrifying plummeting feeling in his stomach as they lurched awkwardly for a moment, down and down again toward the savannah, and then suddenly up, sideways, and up, and finally away, beating forward at a steady pace. The wind whipped in Blue's face. It was cold out here in the dark, after the close warmth of the hive. He peeked backward and saw Cricket soaring alongside them.
Get it? Swordtail said conversationally. Because Luna is like lunar, which means moons. So to the moons is like to Luna, but in code. So awesome. I thought that was clever.
He kept chattering as he flew, as though he couldn't stop the flow of words coming out of him. Blue looked back again, this time at the vast shape of Cicada Hive and the silvery tangles of the webs far overhead. He thought of Burnett and Silverspot, sleeping alone in their cell for the first time since Luna had hatched. Could they sleep? Or were they lying awake, wishing they'd been wrong about Admiral, worrying about Luna and Blue?
Will I ever see them again?
His home was disappearing behind him. He didn't know what was ahead. He only knew he couldn't turn back. And so he looked out toward the dark savanna, and let his friends carry him forward into the night.
Part 2. Out of the Hive. Chapter 13.
They flew all the rest of that night, swooping low to the savannah whenever the moons breached the clouds, just in case anyone was watching for them. Swordtail charted a course straight across the circle toward Wasp Hive, which made sense, but quickly brought them to a part of the savannah where dragons rarely ventured. The grass was long and wild, and shapes prowled below them. Growls and shrieks and curling hoots rose from the darkness, slicing through the constant hum of the insects. Once he got over his fear, Blue found the rhythm of Swordtail's wings, lulling him into a kind of doze. His friend seemed tireless, soaring on and on without stopping. Blue hoped Cricket was all right. He tried to call to her a few times, but the wind whipped his voice away. After a long time, Blue noticed that he could see the outlines of shrubs below him, gray and ghostly. He glanced up and saw an expanding band of pale yellow light along the edge of the sky.
"It's almost morning," he called up to Swordtail. "We should hide for the day, that's what I think," Swordtail answered. "It's still half a day's journey to Wasp Hive, and they'll be out looking for us in force today, and it would be better to get there at night anyway. Night, an excellent time of day for heroics." "Cricket?" Blue called, trying to twist around to see her.
"Hide," she panted behind them. She looked exhausted, but her wings beat valiantly. "Yes, good. Where?"
"Where?"
Blue studied the savannah as far as he could see in each direction. The yellow grass rippled, broken only by gnarled little shrubs, patches of barren dirt, or the winding path of dry riverbeds. The rainy season was coming soon, so the ground below them was dry. There was nothing large enough to hide in, or under, or behind. Hunting parties of hive wings would spot them from the air with no trouble at all.
"Disguise ourselves as grass?" Swordtail suggested. "Disguise ourselves as shrubs?" "Disguise ourselves as elephants! That's it! Let's do it!"
"That stuff still hasn't worn off," Blue called to Cricket.
"Or I can build us a web," Swordtail said.
"A giant web! And we hide underneath it, and they'll think there must be some massively enormous spiders colonizing the savannah. This will totally work!"
"Let's fly a bit farther," Cricket said between breaths. "Try to find somewhere." Blue barely blinked. He was staring so intently at the ground. Off to his left, he saw a herd of teeny tiny deer with enormous ears bounding through the grass, which was shorter and scrubbier here. A tall, long-necked gray and white bird stalked slowly along one of the sun-baked riverbeds, ignoring the smaller birds that perched on its back or flew down to poke the barren soil. There was nowhere to hide. Blue's heart sank as they flew on and the sky grew brighter. This was a mistake. The savannah was the worst place they could have gone. And then, as the sun peeked over the horizon, he saw the vast looming shape of a hive in the distance. Wasp Hive. His heart kicked hard in his chest. The home of Queen Wasp, the grandest and wealthiest of all the hives. The location of the temple, where the Book of Clear Sight was worshipped and protected by generation after generation of librarians. A hive full of power and soldiers and secrets. Where the queen might be hiding his sister and his father and other flame silks.
"Are we really doing this?" he thought,
with sudden crashing anxiety.
"What are we doing? Do we think we can sneak into Wasp Hive, of all places, and find something the queen wants to stay hidden?"
Swordtail banged around, making Blue's stomach drop, and swooped back to Cricket.
"We shouldn't get any closer,"
he said. She might send out hunters from her own hive to search for us, too, if she's paranoid, which she is, which she should be because...
He cut himself off abruptly and nodded a few times.
Because reasons.
But where? Cricket spiraled in the air. There's nothing out here. I didn't know it would be like this. She looked tired and worried, and Blue felt a surge of guilt for dragging her into his mess. He tried to imagine what it must be like for her. Far from home, helping two runaway silkwings, knowing how much trouble she'd be in if she was caught with them.
Is that something over there?
Blue asked, pointing. There was a dark slash in the unending sea of cracked earth and yellow grass.
Let's find out! Let's find out!
Swordtail said. He beat his wings and soared toward it.
It's a hole, Blue thought, as they drew closer. A really big hole.
It looked as though the earth had suddenly dropped away here, a long time ago, leaving a cavernous shaft lined with moss-covered rocks and long green plants trying to clamber out into the sunshine. It was impossible to see the bottom, even when they landed on the rim and tried to peer down into it. Outcroppings of rock blocked most of their view, and where they could see past those, all they saw was more darkness, disappearing down and down. Swordtail used his claws to cut away the silk connecting him and Blue. Blue took a few wobbly steps, shaking out his legs and trying to get the feeling back into them.
Are you all right?
He asked Cricket, who was crouching on the edge of the sinkhole, holding her glasses on with one talon while she peered down. Absolutely, she said. What is this? How deep do you think it goes? What's at the bottom? How did it get this way? Have you ever seen anything like this?
I haven't been out on the savannah much either, he admitted. I didn't know it had sinkholes.
Are we going down it? She asked, turning to Swordtail. Can we? Her eyes were shining, as though her tiredness had evaporated in the excitement of a new discovery.
I don't know,
he said, hopping from one foot to another with restless energy.
This seems like the most obvious place to hide, so I assume they'll check here, and then we'll be trapped at the bottom of a hole with no way to escape. I still think my elephant plan is the best. Elephants are great. I can look like an elephant, no problem.
He struck an odd, dramatic pose, which Blue guessed was supposed to look elephantesque. What do you think? Cricket asked Blue. Swordtail had a point, but where else could they hide? He turned to look over his shoulder at the distant shape of Wasp Hive. For a moment, he thought his vision had gone blurry. Then he thought, fleetingly, that a swarm of insects had surrounded the hive. But finally, with a chill of terror, he realized that the buzzing motion around the city came from the wings of dragons, pouring out of every window and door and shaking the webs with the wind they raised. Dawn was here. The hunt had begun.
We go down, he said. Quickly, right now.
Cricket didn't hesitate. She dove over the edge and vanished. Swordtail hooked his front talons under Blue's arms again and leaped off as well. They dropped down and down, pushing off from the craggy, lichen-covered walls when they got too close and maneuvering around bulbous outcroppings. The air got cooler and more damp as they descended. The shaft was narrow, leaving barely enough room in places for Swordtail to keep his wings spread.
What if there is no bottom to this hole? Blue worried. Or what if the hive wings get here before we find the bottom?
Did they know about this sinkhole? How long before they came to search it? Finally, below his claws, Blue saw the rocks converge onto a kind of ground, although it was really just more rock. But at least he could stand on it, and it seemed to be the bottom of the hole. Swordtail let him down gently and hopped onto a ledge to stretch his wings. Blue glanced up at the tiny strip of sunlight far overhead, then around for Cricket. The rock under his feet slanted down and away from the shaft into a dark tunnel. It was the only way Cricket could have gone, so he followed uneasily. After a few steps, the tunnel widened into a cave, although by now the light was so dim that he couldn't tell how big it was. He heard the faint drip, drop of water somewhere up ahead.
"Cricket," he whispered.
"Right here." She materialized out of the dark and brushed his shoulder with her wing. "This cave is enormous. And watch your step, because there's a lake that starts a little ways down this slope. A lake, Blue, under the savanna. Would you have guessed? Isn't that wild? And there's something else strange. Come see. Or, I guess, feel. Seeing isn't really an option down here." She nudged him through the dark until he felt water lapping at his claws, and then, a few steps later, something bumped against his leg. He jumped back, thinking it was alive. But Cricket reached for it and guided it into his talons so he could feel that it was a large object floating on the surface of the lake, and there was a rope tied to one end of it, which led to a stalagmite that jutted from the rocky floor. A rope. Which meant someone had been here before them. "What do you think it is?" she whispered to him.
"I have no idea," he whispered back.
"Someone must have left it like this," she said. "Maybe to carry things across the lake? But why not just fly across with whatever they had to carry? This is so mysterious." Blue heard the rustle of wings as Swordtail ducked into the cave with them.
"I think I heard voices up above," he whispered. "Can we go deeper?"
"Let's see," Cricket whispered back, barely a breath on the air. They felt their way deeper into the cave, staying close to the wall and skirting the edge of the lake. Soon, that became impossible, as they ran out of shoreline and they had to wade into the cold, still silk of the water. It was terrifying, wading into the dark and ever-deepening water, but not as terrifying as the thought of the hive wings behind them. Blue shivered as the water climbed up his legs, lapped at his underbelly, and soon covered his wing buds. He'd seen the ocean in the distance from the top of the webs, but he'd never been submerged in water, and he certainly had no idea how to swim. If the water got any deeper, he wasn't sure he'd be able to go on.
"There's a passage here," Cricket whispered. "Or an alcove or something, I think."
Ripples flickered around Blue as Cricket ducked away, then came back to tug on his arm. He held out his tail for Swordtail to catch, then let Cricket guide him under a dip in the roof. Now he could feel walls on either side of him, and to his surprise, here and there he saw what looked like sticky trails of light webbing across the roof above, or sliding down the walls. Cricket paused and brought her nose closer to one of these, studying it curiously for a moment before moving on. They waded forward for what felt like an eternity, and then the passage curved, and ahead of them, reflecting off the slick wet walls, was the glow of firelight. Blue froze, touching Cricket's wing. She stopped too, with a little gasp.
"Fire. Is this it? Did we find where Queen Wasp is hiding the flame silks? Or what are we about to walk into?"
Chapter 14. Blue glanced back toward Swordtail, whose face was dimly visible in the phosphorescent glow from the walls. Swordtail edged past them to take the lead, and they all inched forward, step by careful step. There was a cavern ahead. Stalactites bubbled down from a high ceiling. Streaks of orange and white marbled the stone walls, shot through with veins of glittering black and gold ore. The water lapped against the shore here before continuing into another, wider tunnel. Rock formations twisted up in shapes like dragon tails, making the cavern look like a weird forest of petrified trunks. The firelight wasn't coming from any flame silk dragons. It flickered from a small pile of burning sticks, not far from the water. And next to the fire,